Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Have you ever thought that God's timing was not quite perfect? Have you ever felt that the promise of God for provision, or His promise for your deliverance, or His promise to lead you and guide you and help you and intervene in your situations was not coming to pass in quite the right timing that you would have expected? I want to talk to you today about God's perfect timing. God's timing really is perfect. He knows everything. He knows the entire picture that we do not quite see clearly. And He knows how to deliver you in the moment of your greatest need. God wants you to have faith that He is faithful who made you those promises. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 11, from the Amplified Bible, the very familiar story about Jesus' friend Lazarus, whom He raised from the dead. Chapter 11, verse 1 begins this way. Now a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped His feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was now sick. So the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is sick. When Jesus received the message, He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote His glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were His dear friends, and He held them in loving esteem. Therefore, even when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where He was. Then, after that interval, He said to His disciples, "Let us go back again to Judea." The disciples said to Him, Rabbi, the Jews only recently were intending and trying to stone you. Are you thinking of going back there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble, because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks about in the night, he does stumble, because there is no light in him. The light is lacking to him. He said these things and then added, Our friend Lazarus is at rest and sleeping, but I am going there that I may awaken him out of his sleep. The disciples answered, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will recover. However, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he referred to falling into a refreshing and natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there. It will help you to believe, to trust and rely on me. However, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us go too, that we may die along with him. So when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And a considerable number of the Jews had gone out to see Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained sitting in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, He will grant it to you. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in, has faith in, cleaves to, and relies on me shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, even he who was to come into the world. It is for your coming that the world has waited. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, privately whispering to her, The teacher is close at hand and is asking for you. When she heard this, she sprang up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the same spot where Martha had met him. When the Jews, who were sitting with her in the house and consoling her, saw how hastily Mary had arisen and gone out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to pour out her grief there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He chafed in spirit and sighed and was disturbed. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews said, See how tenderly he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened a blind man's eyes have prevented this man from dying? Now Jesus, again sighing repeatedly and deeply disquieted, approached the tomb. It was a cave, a hole in a rock, and a boulder lay against it, the entrance to close it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, exclaimed, But Lord, by this time he is decaying and throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Yes, I know you always hear and listen to me, but I've said this on account of and for the benefit of the people standing around, so that they may believe that you did send me, that you have made me your messenger. When he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial cloths, and with a burial napkin bound around his face. Jesus said to them, Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go. This is an amazing story, and I want to share with you the concept of God's perfect timing. Without a doubt, Mary and Martha thought Jesus' timing was anything but perfect. They were quite frustrated that he had not arrived before their brother Lazarus had died. They were confident that Jesus could heal him if they were able to get him to arrive while he was still alive yet sick. And yet, Jesus had it all planned out, and his timing was exquisite. In fact, he even said to his disciples that he was glad that he hadn't gone any sooner than that, so that their faith would be increased, so that they would believe in the Lord by what they were about to see. God is very aware of your need, and he cares about your situation. Jesus got the message about his friend's need just the same way that he hears our cries for help. In Psalm 31:22, we see the psalmist David saying, For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you. Many times we feel like David, I'm cut off from before your eyes. You don't see my problem. You don't see my need, or you are acting blindly toward this desperate situation that I have. And yet, God has heard your cry. He heard the voice of your supplication when you cried out to Him. And He is very aware of your need, and He cares about your need. Jesus loved and cared for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and He considered them His dear friends, just as He considers you His dear friend. Often when we are waiting for God's answer to our cry for deliverance in a certain situation in our lives, Satan's first line of attack on our thought life is to suggest that God either is not aware of our pressing need or He just doesn't care about it. We must resist the temptation to allow these seeds of doubt and unbelief to be sown in our own thought life and then in our own spirit. Because those seeds of doubt and unbelief have one purpose, and that is to destroy the harvest of deliverance that God wants you to reap if you'll allow the seed of faith in God's goodness and His faithfulness to take root in your heart. We must always battle doubt and unbelief as Christians. We must stand firmly and believe God's word over any situation or circumstance that we may be facing that seems contrary to the goodness of God. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "There is no person able to talk about victory over temptation without going through it. All victories are won in battles." You may be in the middle of a battle right now where you are waiting for God's deliverance in your situation. You can have the victory, but you must battle doubt and unbelief. God responds to faith, and we see this very clearly in this story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Martha's statement of faith is quite profound, and we see in John 11, verses 21 and 22, her statement that she believed God could do anything, even at this late hour, even at this time that seemed beyond hope. She says to Jesus, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, He will grant it to you." She made a statement that she believed if He had gotten there before He died, He could have raised Him up. But even now after He died, she believed He could raise Him up. That was a phenomenal statement of faith in the face of what looked like a
Martha
complete
disaster.
For something she
it
had
looked
never
like
seen
tragedy
before.
Had struck
the
that family
of a dead
and
person.
Was unredeemable.
Are you able to believe
her brother had
something
been in that
you've
tomb
never seen
for
before?
Four solid days.
The complete reversal
that was a natural
of your desperate
circumstance
situation.
That looked irreversible.
Jesus' response to
are
Martha's
you in a
faith statement
that
is
looks
to tell her that her brother would rise again.
Are you
again
facing a situation that looks
the
like
Lord
it's
will
too
say
far
to you
gone,
as you stand in
God's
faith,
timing
that resurrection power is coming your way? John Lake, who is a healing evangelist in the early 1900s, once said, "The sanest man is the man who believes God and stands on His promises and knows the secret of His power." God is calling you today to believe that His timing is perfect, and you can receive God's supernatural intervention and His supernatural and perfect timing by standing and believing His word and His promise to you. God responds to faith, as we saw here in the story of Lazarus and Martha's statement of faith to Jesus. But on the other hand, God weeps over unbelief in His own children. Mary wept to Jesus that if He had just gotten there sooner, He could have healed Lazarus. But there was no statement of faith to follow that statement as her sister Martha had given to Jesus. Mary was just plain frustrated and sure that Jesus had missed God's perfect timing. But John 11:33 tells us that Jesus groaned in His spirit and was troubled in response to Mary's frustration, anger, disappointment.
But Jesus was not troubled by the fact that Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was going to do about it. But it was Mary's lack of faith that troubled him. God's timing for your deliverance is perfect. But I want to bring your attention to one statement in this story that is a key for you to be able to stand confidently that God's deliverance is coming your way. In the Amplified translation of this story, it says, "When he heard Lazarus was sick, he still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Then after that interval," Jesus intentionally stayed longer, even when it seemed like he was needed at that moment. He stayed longer. And it says, "Then after that interval, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back again to Judea.'" Do you understand that God's perfect timing comes after that interval? That is a key for us as believers, that we have to understand God will respond. He understands your need. He's heard your cry for deliverance, but he still has an interval of time where he waits before his perfect timing of response comes. Have you been frustrated in that interval? God wants you to know that after that interval, he will come on the scene as he did for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus said to Martha, "Didn't I tell you, and didn't I promise you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" This is a key element in receiving God's perfect timing, God's perfect provision, God's perfect deliverance. Believing he is good, believing he has heard you, believing he is faithful who promised, believing he knows your need, and he cares about you. God's timing for your deliverance really is perfect. There's always a great temptation to doubt God or to question his timing when an answer to a desperate prayer seems to be delayed or is long in coming. There's no doubt that Mary and Martha struggled with the why question when Jesus did not come right away when they sent word to him about Lazarus's illness. Yet it is a requirement of the life of faith that we trust God in every way, including trusting the wisdom of his timing. There is a great spiritual danger for us if we fall into the trap of questioning God's wisdom and his character over his timing. I'm reminded of a great story about Howard Carter, the Pentecostal pioneer of Great Britain and Ireland. And this story was told by Lester Summerall in his book called The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. And he talked about Howard Carter and his phenomenal faith in God and his total confidence in God's perfect timing. He told the story this way. "At one time, Reverend Carter made arrangements to purchase, by faith, a church for a local congregation in London, England. He was given 60 days to pay the note. At the time, he was president of Hampstead Bible School. As the days and weeks went by and no money came in, the faculty and students became very concerned. They were so nervous, in fact, that the last day or two, they found it difficult to eat. Everyone, that is, except Reverend Carter. His appetite was as good as usual. The night before the day of foreclosure on the property, there were still no funds. But Reverend Carter was a man of faith. He said very simply, 'God has assured me that I will have the full payment on schedule. I don't have the money now, but I don't need it until tomorrow.' The last mail delivery in London at that time was 9 o'clock p.m. As Reverend Carter picked up the mail from the box, there was a large brown envelope. As he himself told me, 'I picked up the envelope, laid it on the mantel with the other mail. I was going to leave it there until the next morning. Usually when I get a large brown package like that, it is a load of paper clippings that someone has sent for me to read. But the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "Open it tonight." He He argued for a while, but finally surrendered to that urging within his spirit. When he tore open the package, he found a bundle of brand new British pound notes from the bank, exactly the amount he needed to purchase the church. There was no name or return address on the envelope. The gift was anonymous. Anyone else would have jumped up and down, shouted with excitement, and run upstairs to tell everybody what happened. But not Reverend Carter. He very calmly placed the envelope on the shelf where it had been and went to bed. The next morning at breakfast, he told the students and faculty about their blessing. Then he passed around the brown envelope for all to see. While everyone went wild with joy and excitement, Reverend Carter hardly wrinkled his face. He said, "I knew it 2 months ago, and I was sure of it 2 months ago. I told the Lord I wasn't nervous about when He would send it. I didn't need it until 11 a.m. that certain day, so any time before that would be fine." This type of confidence in God, that God's timing for our deliverance is perfect, is beautifully illustrated in Howard Carter's life. God wants us to walk in that kind of confidence in the goodness of God and in His promise. In the New Testament, the Greek word kairos is used repeatedly to indicate a set or a proper time or a due season with regard to God moving in the affairs of men. God always has a proper time or a due season for moving in our lives. We must firmly stand by faith and believe for our kairos and not short-circuit it by disobedience or by doubting God. If we have a clear conscience before God, then we can rest assured that our due season and our set time is on its way. But remember, due season, which is God's perfect timing, comes after that interval. And after that interval is the time during which you must stand believing God's goodness, believing His faithfulness, believing He's never late, believing that due season or the set time will certainly come for you. God has proved this to us over and over again, though at times I have felt like God's timing was less than perfect. When my husband and I first planted a church in Southern California, we literally believed God day to day for the provision to pay for the needs of the church and our own personal needs as well. One particular occasion arose where the rent was due on the church building and we did not have it. We didn't personally have it. The church finances did not have the amount needed, and the money was due. And we had just begun to rent from another congregation. To me, our need was even greater, because it wasn't only for ourselves that we had this need, but it was for this other church who we knew also was struggling financially. We cried out to the Lord. The day the rent came due arrived, and we had no money. The next day, again, now it seemed for sure God was late. His timing certainly was imperfect. The third day came, and in the mail came a check that more than covered the rent that we needed to pay. When my husband went to pay the rent to the pastor, he found that the gentleman had been out of town for several days and would not be able to receive the money for another day or two. God's timing was absolutely perfect. It wasn't late. He knew no one was there to receive the money, though we felt like God's timing was imperfect. His timing is so perfect. Trust God today, my friend, and He will indeed bring your deliverance in His perfect timing. God bless you. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.